What time is it?
It's time for Ricketts Birdie.
Hey, this is Wiggins Burzy, Mike, Steve, and Dave. But tonight, we are without Steve, who is otherwise disposed, has some things he has to attend to. And Mike and I understand that completely because these guys always understand when I got junk I have to deal with as well. So it's just Mike and Dave for this episode. So we hope that we don't bore you to death with our lack of technical savvy that Steve often carries the water for us on. So you got two bumbling bearded fools with you here tonight. So Mike, based on that, how you doing, man? What's going on?
You'll probably notice from my voice that I had the roughest week, man.
Yeah. You sound a little beleaguered, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday night, I was perfectly fine. We didn't record last week, right?
We did not. And I think
it was perfectly fine. I had a couple of beers. Like, everything was fine. Right around bedtime, I felt a little groggy. And I was like, huh. Like, I fell asleep in my chair. I don't know how I always do that, you know? So I fell asleep in my chair, got up for work the next morning. Didn't feel the best, but I said, probably got a shitty night of sleep.
Wait, you fell asleep in the chair and stayed in the chair? Like, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Yeah, the wife made me go upstairs. And, so Tuesday, like halfway through the day, I look over at my lead and she looked right back in my eyes. I was like, I fallen apart pretty fast here. She looked at me and goes, you're not coming in tomorrow, are you? I'm like, no, I'll be fine. Dude, like right before bedtime, 101.4 fever.
Not fun.
Lucas had already been sick. Like, my daughter was sick. They were getting ready to go to my mom's house for the rest of the week. We're going to go to Boston over the weekend. I was going to spend time with Boston Spurs, then go make my feelings felt to the MLS at the refs game. I was going to do a little protest.
Gotcha.
None of that ended up happening because we were diagnosed with influenza A. So,
no fun, man. And your kids were on vacation last week, right? Like it was a week ruined.
So Lily had the sickness for like only like 3 or 4 days and she was fine. She went to my mom's, which is probably good for her because she would have been bored to death with Lucas and I watching all 4 seasons of Hey Arnold. Nice. And then me saying, all right, enough of this. We're going to watch Dune before we go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
So we did that. At one point, Amy came. And this is the last of my stories. But at one point, Amy came into the living room. TV was so loud, right? She looks at me and she's like asking me some sort of question. And I'm kind of like, you know, wave her away. And, you know, try to tell her, don't talk in the middle of my movie.
You can do
and
that?
Then, and then Lucas, and then she asks Lucas the same question. Like, this time I heard it. She was like, what is going on out here? What are you watching? And Lucas goes, I don't know. I don't have any idea what's going on, but I love it.
But it was Dune, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny the time of that. Like Beth and I rewatched that yesterday just for the same purpose of.
Yeah, I had to rewatch it. And then he had never seen it. So, and we're definitely going hopefully sometime next week, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good.
Yeah. How about you? Good week. Good couple weeks, I should say.
Good couple weeks. You know what? A couple weeks back, we had some friends from out of town with us for several days, which was good. We hadn't seen them in a while. Yeah. Good to catch up. But you know how that goes. After you have company, you're also ready to unwind a wee bit and take things slow. And we did not do that last week. We had a few different folks over for dinner. So the social calendar was busy. So this past weekend, Beth and I did very little. just putzed around on Saturday and putzed around on Sunday, and it was actually rather pleasant to
to
do so. And the weather was kind of crappy anyway. It was, especially Saturday, it was rainy and cold, and
it was like the London fog outside.
Yeah, ugly stuff.
Yeah. So well, yeah. before we got on, I was Dave wanted to start a little early, guys. I was enjoying my deer on my deck.
Your deer, like watching them or shooting at them?
No, watching them. They come into my backyard every night, right around dusk, and I just watch them.
Yeah.
Fucking weird, I guess, maybe, but.
Kind of stalk them a little bit, kind of creep them a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But, they're just doing everything out there. They're eating whatever they can, and there's no snow, so they can find food this year. They're very big and fat.
Well, yeah, because there's been no snow.
It's just no snow and no ice, right? Exactly.
I went out last Wednesday, tried to go skiing, and it was one of those 50-degree days. Sun was out. It was beautiful. It was the way you draw it up for spring skiing, except that the snow was disappearing quickly. Terrible shape, super sticky. Like it just was. That was it. I put the skis away after that. So yeah, winter's over in my mind. It was never here, but it's over.
Goddamn shame.
Absolutely.
Like we haven't been able to do our fun outdoor activities that we normally do because last summer it was fucking shitty, rainy all the time. I didn't get to take the kayak out at all last year.
Agreed. Same here.
Yeah. It just sucks.
That's how it was. Yeah. Well, hey, things that don't suck. You want to talk about football a little bit?
Yeah.
Let's do it. There was a match over the weekend.
It certainly was.
Tell me what you thought. What'd you see? What'd you like?
Dude, a lot of people are out there bitching and complaining about one thing or another. I have my one complaint, and it's like it's defense on our set pieces, And I'm pretty sure in the chat and the WhatsApp that I made my feelings felt.
Just add to that offense on our set pieces as well? Like
I think that's a little bit down to Pedro Porro not being there.
Okay.
Madison is fine. He hasn't been good enough. But I think with Pedro Porro, you have a little bit of a different look, a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he puts the ball in. I think we might have had a completely different look had Perisic never been injured, right? That guy's great at set pieces.
Absolutely.
That all said, like, I think at some point it's Jednak, right, who has the defensive set pieces. When is he going to be held to account for some of this stuff? Like teaching his goalkeeper's positioning, teaching his goalkeepers how to set up the wall properly. Instead of leaving giant spaces, sure, maybe that wasn't upper corner, it wasn't pinpoint accurate, and maybe Vicario was a little bit at fault for it. But at the same time, when are our coaches going to start being held responsible for stuff?
Yeah, and I think on that particular set piece that they scored on, like you knew it was coming. You saw how they set up. There was only one place. There was only one place he could put the ball. So it all. I don't know. I agree with you.
I sat there in the living room and I told Amy, I was like, I already know what's coming.
Yeah.
And then I put it in the chat and then like seconds later it happened. Like it was so predictable what was going to happen. The problem is that like people flipped out about it, right? I went on the Extra Inch Discord. People were flipping out about it. Yeah. I mean, all the stuff that people flip out about, are the same things that I get angry about, but I don't take it to that kind of extreme that they do. Immediately people thought the game was lost. Immediately like, the world is ending. Ange needs out, right. All this shit,
Lunacy. And what do those people do when we win 3-1? Any of those people change their tune?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they did, but like at the same time, we have to recognize the deficiencies in this team. And there are deficiencies and we're allowed to call it out. Ange is fucking, he's a good coach. We like him there. We like what he's doing with style of football he's playing. He's a great person, like all this stuff doesn't mean as fans, we can't call him out for some of the things that we feel are, deficient.
Well, and Mike, to your first point, like when is the coaching for that going to be called to account? And I think, here's how I see it. It's March, right? So there's essentially 2 months left of the season. If I recall correctly, when Ange came in, he didn't bring anyone with him. He hired like entirely new staff to him, assembled a new group of guys. So it's probably really reasonable to assume that the things we see are obvious to people on the inside, and that there's probably going to be a change during the summer. You know, that's what we can hope. That's what we could expect. But you're right. It stinks when you're in the midst of it, and it continues to be a problem. It seems like the Vicario, like getting boxed into a corner piece, has sort of resolved itself in some ways, but there are still some glaring issues that need to be attended to.
Did you see that Sonny was like, fuck it, I'll do it too?
Yeah.
he was doing that a lot. Like, he was backing himself into John Stone a lot, like on those corners. Yeah. How many fucking corners did we have? I don't know, 10?
12? It seemed like a lot. Yeah. I don't know the stat, but it was a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I was saying, we have to be able to call it the deficiencies. But at the same time, these people that are freaking out, they don't want to look at the positives that were happening. We were holding possession.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't giving the ball away in the midfield. We weren't giving the ball away in our defensive third. Mm-hmm. Crystal Palace is a shit counterattacking team. They have a new coach who I thought, like, Glasner was very attacking, very pressing player when, you know, in previous jobs. Mm-hmm. Was he with Frankfurt, right? Was it Frank?
Yeah, Oliver yeah. With Frankfurt. Yep.
So, I mean, but he didn't do that here. I think he recognizes what's going on there in the limitations of the players that he's got. So they're going to probably introduce that system slowly. They're going to play the way that the guys that are there know how to play, which is the system of the Crypt Keeper. Which is to low block and counter, but they don't have anybody to counter without Elise there, you know, playing. They have Etze and he is a phenomenal player, but, you know, once he's gone out of the game, and I mean, the guy runs and runs and runs, and once he's gone out of the game at 60 minutes, you know, he's run out of steam at 60 minutes. He's got out of the game at 65.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we were dominating the game. We were holding possession. We had something like 84-85% possession at halftime. We weren't giving balls away. We weren't making stupid passing decisions. It could be argued that we were being way too safe. We were being a little too slow and methodical. But at the same time, people have to understand that, like, we're trying to break down that low block, and we're trying to figure out a way to do it. And maybe passing the ball around the way we did, the back passing, the side to side passing, the every once in a while kind of, you know, chipping it into the inside the box to see what we get, you know, feeling them out. That's part of the process. And this is the perfect type of a team, you know, they're a shit team, and this is the perfect type of a team to be able to do that with. It's not the same with a team like Wolves, because Wolves are. That's the system that they play, and they're very, very organized defensively, right? So when you have a team like Wolves, it's a completely different thing. You can't just go down in there and experiment and try things out for a whole half, because you are going to get countered on and you are going to get beat. And we did. So with a team like Crystal Palace, go ahead and try some new shit. I liked what I saw, you know. There were a lot of positives to take out of it. And we kind of knew that they're going to come out with their pants on fire. They didn't have their pants on, or their hair on fire, or their pants on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Their hair on fire. They didn't really come out that way in the first half. They just kind of.
No, they just were there.
Waited, they let it settle into us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, the whole match was about timing. You know, like, when you look at it, what was it? It was about the 75th minute, I think, we got our first goal and drew even, and then we put the other two on. You know, had that first goal come before half, and then we scored two more in the second half, because being up 1-0 at half caused their behavior to be different and open things up, but more for us. Had it taken kind of those that traditional path, like nobody'd be whining and squawking about the match at all. You know,
no, but I mean, had Timo put that ball away.
Well, yeah. Also, yeah. But I mean, the fact
we knew that wasn't going to happen.
Right. We possessed. We let them just kind of hang around. Like it just it causes people to panic unduly. But I use the word panic to say I didn't see us panic, which is a good development as well. You know, like going that late into the game, it still seemed like Spurs were on the they were steady on their feet, I guess would be how I'd put it. And I liked how it played out at the end. And the last 15 minutes were incredibly exciting.
Incredibly exciting.
Yeah, good stuff.
I feel like the whole second half was incredibly exciting.
There also true.
There was a lot of shit happening.
Yeah.
You know, once once they scored, I think that kind of set the tone, right? That changed the way that they played. You know, the second half, it was like I told Lucas, I sat there and I looked at him and like, watch this, they're gonna start pressing now. They're gonna start pressing up on us because now they've got the lead. They smell blood. They're gonna do something stupid. They're gonna press up on us, and then we're probably one of the better teams in the league, probably the best team in the league at playing out from the back.
Sure.
Just because of how calm our defensive midfielders are, and our defenders are, our center backs. Just fantastic. And I think that like once they started pressing, we started opening up a little bit more. We were pressing wider to the sides instead, and you know, we were lengthening the field, we were widening the field, and that press that they started to put on became ineffective because of our ability to play out, but also because it tired them out.
Yeah,
they're probably already tired out from defending the way they were defending.
Yep.
So there are a lot of things that went into it. And I think that, you know, granted, you know, he didn't score that goal, but he probably should have.
Timo.
Yeah. Timo. I think that Timo was one of the brightest lights on that fucking field. And he, I think, is mostly responsible for stretching the field and widening the field the way he did.
You see the interview with him after the match when they were asking how he felt about his goal. Did you catch that at all?
I caught the one on Spurs play.
Yeah, the on Spurs play. Yeah, it was funny because they asked him, you know, hey, were you excited? Are you celebrating? And his voice
he's like,
is
I turned
funny,
around right? And there was nobody there.
There's nobody there. They didn't come. I realized we still have work to do. So he grabbed the ball and ran back. Like, damn, guy can't even celebrate his first goal properly just because of circumstances. But hey, that's life, right?
But he knew, and I'm sure they, it, you know, maybe they're just maybe the rest of the team was just maybe they were looking to do more work, or maybe the rest of the team was just like, you know, that rookie gets his first home run, just kind of ignore him in the locker room.
Don't give him any love. No, but you know, on when I the camera dugout, angle yeah. I saw of like after he hit that goal and he peels off to the left toward the corner, you could see Sun in the background, like went to the back of the goal, picked up the ball, and was running towards you know, the center of the pitch. So like clearly they were ready to get things going again.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So Timo for me was like probably man of the match.
I like that.
I'm trying to think. Christian, dude, Mickey van de Ven is like,
he's a stud, but man, the little knocks he takes and recovers from, I'm just hoping that there's not a knock that he doesn't.
You know, there's from, not a there know? There.
Yeah, precisely, man, because he gets pounded too much.
He's some sort of weird, like, video game cheat code.
No, the cheat code remember, is remember, cold spray they spray on him. That's the cheat code right there.
I think we texted about that.
For sure.
with van de Ven, like, he is. He's like fucking Bo Jackson and Lawrence Taylor in Tecmo Bowl, you know.
That's funny. Yeah.
He's like it's
bigger,
like, you
faster,
know, the guy
stronger than anyone. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he just does it, and he goes out there and like. I knew that, like, I watched a little bit of Wolfsburg, you know, highlights and shit. When not just highlights, some of their games when he was linked with us, you go back onto YouTube, you can find a lot of shit because the Bundesliga is big.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's fast as fuck, dude. In the way that he tracked back and makes tackles, and dude, it's not just his speed. You know, it's his ability to make slide tackles and to be accurate and precise the way he is.
Oh yeah, for sure.
With those big long legs. There's an actual picture of him doing just that, where I don't know how his hamstring didn't snap the way the position his leg was in.
Yeah.
Like he's some sort of, he's as much of a defensive machine as Erling Haaland is an offensive scoring machine.
You know what? I love that you said that, because I was just looking up, like, and this has been talked about, but actually it's on 420 when Spurs play City. And I can't wait to see.
Know what I'll be doing.
I do. I can't wait to see Van de Ven match up against Haaland and see what happens there. That's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'll be great. I mean, obviously, I think it's going to be Romero. If there's a team that can man mark Erling Haaland, I think Spurs are the team to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think there's a defense in the league that's capable of just one man marking. Like Saliba wouldn't be able to handle him.
Yeah,
you know, they have to be creative in their defense. And I don't think Spurs have to be as creative. But again, we can't just keep relying on Mickey's speed.
Also true.
That all said, I felt the game was well in hand. I never felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I did get pissed off about the goal, but you know, I think that
you have your preponderance of all caps responses when you don't like something, you know, that's just,
come out. But I wasn't jumping off the, fucking deep end.
Good, because your son was with you, and we want you to model good behavior, you know, for the youth, right?
Yes. Yeah. He doesn't model himself after me. I mean, what did you see, like, first half? What were your big takeaways from that first half?
First half just felt slow, you know. I enjoyed. That's a weird word. I was pleased with the type and level of possession we had. You know what I mean? I was pleased that we were effectively in control of the game. I didn't feel concerned about what was ahead for the second half. I knew that our chances would come, and I think I even messaged you guys in the midst of it, like, we're knocking, you know what I mean? Like, we were just slowly knocking. You know, that door is going to eventually open when you knock enough times. Once the second half came around, and my viewing was kind of split up, I had to leave the house for a little bit, so I saw the Palace goal. I was like, yeah, look at that, you know, but still didn't feel despondent, you know, with that.
I think you had texted at that point, like, looks like we're going to be doing what we always have to do at home.
Yeah, and actually the announcer said that. It was kind of classic. It's like, well, it looks like Spurs are doing what they do, and that's making it difficult for themselves at home, you know, and it just felt like that's what it was going to be. What have we come back from? Like, half the games we've won this year have been from losing positions. I want to say there was some sort of stat thrown out.
Right.
There.
Yeah. And the games that we've lost have been from winning positions.
Yeah. It's totally backward, but you know, I felt okay with it. And so then a couple hours later, I was able to watch the replay of the second half, and I knew the goals were coming, but I was like, damn, when, you know, I hadn't looked at the minutes on the goals, right? I just knew that three goals came in. I think I got to 75 minutes. I'm like, what the hell? Like, when's this going to happen?
And so boom, so boom, what boom, did boom. You, I, like, how did you think that the getting the second half, I know I asked you the question about the first half, but how did you think Ange handled substitutions? Because for me, his substitutions in recent matches have been questionable.
So let's restate him again, because I'm having a hard time picturing him. So talk to me about who came in and who went off. Madison went off.
Madison, Bentancur.
Yep.
Who else?
Højbjerg came in.
Timo. Højbjerg, yep. Came in. Bissouma came out. Højbjerg came, yep, in. Deki moves to the middle. Brendan Johnson comes to the right. Then we got Hobby and I think that was it.
And yeah, and so
Sonny came out at some point. Sonny came for Dane Scarlett.
Yeah, Dane Scarlett came in for him later, which was cool to see. I was excited to see Dane Scarlett get in.
Yeah, and Dane did his work. You know, I mean, he's got no other choice but to do what he's doing because he played a cup game for us. So,
you know, to answer your question though, like, I agree with you. It feels like sometimes the substitutions don't entirely make sense with what I'm thinking
or what's going on in the game
or what's going on with the game. But I default back to like Ange and staff know far more about the intricacies of who's doing what and who's capable of what in the moment than sure. I do. And so like, I trust that. I will say like Benton Kerr looked reasonably solid, but he's still not quite on, and so you know him coming off when he did was
this is the way same. I felt too. I think he's getting there,
but he's not quite there, you know.
Yeah, it's like Madison's getting there a little bit more and more. I mean, you saw that chip for the Romero header.
That was beautiful. I mean, that was
classic Madison, but you know, Madison can't do what he does in with such little space.
Yeah,
and they're crowding him. And they're figuring it out. But I think Madison is going to eventually figure out he's not a fucking stupid guy. He's a smart dude.
For sure. Yeah. You know, the Højbjerg substitutions always baffle me. And I we've talked about Højbjerg a lot over the years. I like Højbjerg. I want to see him succeed, whether he stays at Spurs and succeeds or goes elsewhere. I suspect maybe he goes elsewhere.
You know, you hire a new agent, right?
Yeah. But it's funny. Like when he comes on, I feel so torn about what direction it's going to go. Like he can come on and be nearly man of the match and really hold things down and step up, or he can just be this kind of bumbling fool out there who
and he wasn't
know, yeah he didn't do that right. And when he comes on and plays well, like Spurs tend to do well, you know. But boy, when he comes on and is bumbling around, we're in trouble. So I'm just always unsettled when Højbjerg comes back on at this point.
So for me, the substitutions were good. I think it highlighted that I don't necessarily think that Kulusevski is the guy to unlock a low block anymore. Mm-hmm. I think Kulusevski has to play in the middle. Oh, Sarr came in too, didn't he?
He did. Yep.
Yep. Kulusevski is not the guy who's going to unlock a low block anymore. He's not a guy who's going to dribble at you. I mean, you know, he's going to dribble along the end line. He's going to cut the ball back in onto his left. He's not going to shoot.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
He just doesn't do that anymore. But the system is different. The game is different. You know, I think this system requires somebody who can beat somebody off the dribble, and Brendan Johnson, for lack of a better option right now, is that guy. He's fast.
Do you see a scenario where, as Brendan Johnson continues to improve, that maybe he starts getting the starts over Decky? You see that?
Yeah. I honestly think Decky is more of a midfielder in the system. Hmm. And I think he showed that, but I think he got worn out doing it. You know, his body style is different. Like he's got a lot to him. And this is not to say that he's not a good player anymore, or he never was a good player or whatever. He was magical that first half season or three quarters season under Conte, right?
And he was a fucking
revelation.
Player. Yeah, he's a very good player, and he's young. He's still very young.
Yeah, dude, and you know, and like I said about Pedro Porro a thousand times, like he's young, he's able to be molded, he's able to be taught to do things. Pedro Porro's turned into a world class fucking defender.
Didn't it's see that
weird,
coming, did you?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was right about something, you know. Finally, I thought I was right about Reguilon. I thought I was right about Højbjerg. I was right about Pedro Porro. Decky's the same way, man. And these guys are all going to play for that badge. And you know, I think Brennan Johnson trying to put his stamp on this game. He did a lot, man. He did a lot. I think the way that. On Sonny's goal, the way that Mickey turned that dude, the way he kind of shimmied and then turned that dude, got the ball out to Brennan, and Brennan just popped it over to Son on that run. Dude, that was what some of the most beautiful football that we've seen.
Yeah, lovely.
Brennan Johnson played everywhere, man. He was all over the place. You know, the guy isn't, it's not for lack of effort. Like, it's for lack of skill at a young age, right? Like, he's not on a Premier League first team. He doesn't get starts in the Premier League because he's a shitty player. You know, he's what we've got. He's young. He's going to learn. Deke the same way. Like, Deke even said himself, he's more comfortable playing in the middle, and maybe that's his future as like an alternate player, as a rotation player. A lot of these guys are going to have to get used to being rotation players, you know?
Yeah, no, it's valid.
You
know,
that's part of being a bigger team. Not everybody's going to be Romero, Van de Ven, fucking Son, and Madison.
Yep.
It's just not going to happen.
That's very true. Very true.
The only thing I questioned the entire game was, again, some of Adoghi's passing. That's it. But he'll get there too, man. He's fucking 20.
Yep.
We got a bright future ahead of us.
Absolutely.
I just want to mention, you know, before we get to that next piece, that Brennan Johnson showed how he feels about the team and how he feels about this club in the effort that he showed on Timo's goal. I mean, that goal is all on him. You know, Timo got the tap in, which was great, but that goal is all on Brennan Johnson. To be able to lose, to be able to dribble at the man, lose the ball, regain the ball, dribble at the next man, you know, regain the ball, and then get the crossover. The guy is playing. He's out there playing for the other guys on the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not just about himself, not to make himself look good, because if he wanted to make himself look good, he would have tried to find a way to shoot.
It's good to see him settle in. I hope he doesn't go invisible the next match. Like, I feel like he can maybe have a tendency to do that, where he has a brilliant flash like we saw, and then we'll get into that too. Yeah, we'll get into that. But hey, before we get to that, I think there's something else we should talk about. What do you say?
Sure.
I would like to know, Mike, I have a question. It's been a few weeks since I had this kid, because I think Brian did it a couple weeks back. I wasn't with you last week, so Steve did it. So this week, I want to know, hey, Mike, what you drinking?
Well, you know, Dave, I love it when you ask that question.
I know.
Oh, you weren't with us for Windy, were you?
No, I missed it. Oh, that's right. Windy asked it last week, didn't he?
Windy,
no, two weeks ago.
Yeah, so Windy asked it. And and then Steve peaced the fuck out before the end of the pod. Fucking ghosted us, man. But today, dude, we're ushering in the return of the IPA, the hazy IPA.
All right.
Now, much like many of our fans were after that set piece goal, this beer is named, as aptly named, the Grumpy Wench.
The Grumpy Wench. Nice. Who's the brewer?
Foley Brewing.
Oh, it's Foley. Okay.
Foley Brothers out of Brandon, yep. Vermont.
Yep.
It's in the middle of the fucking woods. It abuts a golf course, Nashabee Golf Course. And it's in my neck of the woods from where I'm from.
Indeed it is.
These guys make some fucking fantastic beers. This is a hazy IPA. It says, we are happy to present this juicy, fruit-forward IPA that has a smooth and clean finish. You know the thing about Foley's?
Fruit-forward, so not fruited, but fruit-forward, yes?
Yeah. You know, the thing that I really like about Foley is that they don't try to be something that they're not. They don't try to be kitschy or kind of like edgy or cool. Their can art is generally basic, except for this one has a cool grumpy wench on it.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, very kinda nice. Yeah. Why is she a wench? And like, that's not like a, like when you say wench, I think kind of like, you know, old,
like old timey,
yeah, like a like old timey prostitute. Is what I think of old timey prostitute. that's not what I thought, but hey, we'll go with it. Their Fair Maiden cans are cool artwork on those.
I like those. Yeah, they are. Yeah. I forgot about that. I like the Pieces of Eight. That's a good one too.
Yep, also good.
Skeleton Crew. They make some good beers there. So this has a nice head on it. Nice soapy head, Dave.
Soapy, about 2.5 inches there, it looks like, right?
Hazy IPA, very golden. Yeah. It's not thick and heavy and gross.
Not super hazy. Not an orange juice IPA, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, it's definitely not an orange juice IPA or grapefruit juice IPA. This is definitely a hazy single IPA. It is 6.6% alcohol by volume. This might get me drunk because I haven't had a sip of beer since Monday night. So 1 week ago. And then previous to that, I hadn't been drinking a lot either. Let's see what this does to us. I hope I like this, man. Oh, it smells nice.
I believe it does. What's it smell like?
Bananas almost? Bubble gum? It's not really an IPA smell, but whoa, that's fucking wild.
Wild. Not what I expected. Not the
dude, it's got like pineapple, sour apple, banana, bubble gum. There's a lot of shit going on there. I don't necessarily love it.
Interesting.
I hate it.
All right.
But I don't necessarily love it. It's not my favorite of theirs. Are you writing down the notes?
Yeah. I'm just making note of it so that when I get back to imbibing, as I share with you, you know, trying to take a little bit of a window off. But yeah.
Should have done it in January, but that's okay.
No. Why I gotta be like everybody else who's already quit their dry effort. But no, anyway, I want to check this one out actually. I like Foley stuff. So you saying, wow, it's wild, and then saying you don't really love it. I want to see what's actually going on.
Yeah, there's something going on there that I'm not really sure of in the aftertaste. It's got a lot going on like up front. The nose is good. The look, the mouth feel, if they, like that's one of the things that everybody talks about.
Right.
And I always just say to describe the mouth feel, thick or fizzy. Like this is somewhere in between that. It's actually kind of actually super fizzy. I don't mind it. I think that I will have another one of these. Right. I'm going to finish this one obviously before the end of the segment.
All right. So, I've got my rating in my mind based on what I've heard. So let's hear what you got.
I'm going to go 3.2 on this one.
3.3 is what I said in my mind. So okay, it's pretty good. I originally was at 3.4, but I was like, nope, it's not that high. So still dialed in, man. Not too bad.
Oh, and, first song, just like our Spurs and just like the way I feel right now. I'm off the influenza kick. I'm feeling a little bit better. I'm getting my voice back. It's great.
See, all you had to do is spend a little time with Dave and everything's better.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Very nice.
I'm going to say Back in the Game by Wu-Tang Clan.
Wow. Look at that. I think that might be your first Wu-Tang, song choice.
Wu-Tang. Yeah. I mean, dude, I don't like to shout Wu-Tang, you know, very often.
Yeah. Kind of cheesy for a man of your age to be doing so.
I think it's actually right on. It's right on brand for a man of my age. It's
right.
Cause like you talk to the younger people and they're like, Wu-Tang, I see those t-shirts in fucking Walmart.
That's true, man. You know?
Right next to the Kiss t-shirts and the Grateful Dead t-shirts.
They don't even know what the logo is. That's a good point.
My mom bought my daughter a Grateful Dead t-shirt.
Did she?
over this weekend. Yeah.
Because they were the dead, or because she liked the hair that was on.
No, really. I picked out, like, they went shopping for clothes over in Glens Falls, and
yeah,
you know, just a girl's day or whatever. And, my poor dad, he was hoping Lucas was going to come. But they, went shopping, and Lily, you know, got on FaceTime and they got back from shopping that night and was like, look what I got. Look what Grammy bought me. Because I didn't even realize it. I just like the colors.
That's funny. That's very funny.
So now she's got like two Grateful Dead t-shirts and I've got one.
But how does it make you feel that they sell them at Walmart?
I don't think they're at Walmart, but they do sell them at Walmart, but like, oh, fuck it. I don't care.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Bunch of old men trying to, but just they're all just a bunch of old men trying to pad their.
Yeah, they sell REO Speedwagon shirts there too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, they definitely do.
Perfect.
They're in Target as well. Target has a lot of those cool shirts. I bought a CBGB's shirt at Target.
Not the one in South Burlington, by the way. I mean, I don't mean to disrespect any stores, but in your area, the Target in South Burlington is the lamest Target I've ever been in my life.
It's sad, isn't it?
It's always like picked over like it's the apocalypse and it just got raided, you know, like that's like, that's truly how I feel every time I go in there.
It's like a Starbucks. It's like a Starbucks that decided to sell some clothes and some toys,
but they only empty like half the boxes, you know, it's just,
It's like when you walk into a Dollar General and one whole aisle is just boxes of stuff.
Precisely. You got it, but we digress. Hey, next Sunday, we got Villa coming up, and we were talking about Villa a little bit earlier today, and they got some financial stuff in play. What are you thinking about as you look ahead to Villa?
Yeah, they do have some financial stuff in play, don't they? They had like record losses, right?
Record losses, like 130 something million, I want to say, over the last year.
I think it was more than that. But
was it more than that? I could
either
be wrong.
Either way, it was record losses for them. They're going to be facing some FFP stuff if they don't sell some players. Like I said in the chat, and this is the last I'll mention, this is that their greatest move, after buying the players they bought with the Grealish money, they fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. Fantastic buys with the Grealish money. One of those players was Danny Ings. Their best move was using him up until he had nothing left, and then convincing West Ham and David Moyes that he was worth way more.
they spent Danny Ings for sure.
David Moyes wanted him so badly that they overspent, that they were like, oh no, he's worth more than that.
There was a time, was it when we signed Vinicius, like that window, that I think that was when Ings was available also, and I was like, oh, Danny Ings might not be a bad Kane backup, you know, and like in that particular window.
Yeah, I also thought Bamford would be too, but
yeah.
You know, we saw what happened with him in Leeds.
Very true. So yeah, they got some financial stuff going on.
Villa is going to be, so Unai Emery is, their form right now is like they look really good on paper. I watched that Luton match, dude. Hoping that Luton had just held on to that fucking draw. But Luton outplayed them, man. Luton outplayed them. Like, Aston Villa's form is good. You know, as far as, like, wins and losses. But, like, when you look at those losses, a lot of those losses are really, really bad losses. They've lost some really bad fucking teams. Newcastle being one of them. Newcastle's not good. And they got smoked by Newcastle. They got dominated by Tottenham Hotspur when Tottenham Hotspur were just a leaking ship with injuries, right? Mm-hmm. We dominated them. The thing about Aston Villa that we have to watch out for is they're very, very, very good on the counter.
Yeah.
You know, that's our weakness, is that counter.
Also true.
So Unai Emery is not stupid. They're playing at Villa Park. Villa does not lose at home often, very often at all. Ollie Watkins is really fucking good, dude.
I like him. Always have.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's not a fucking showboat. He goes out there, scores a lot of fucking goals.
He's a good sized fella too, you know?
No slouch. Yeah. He's gonna go out there and try and put his stamp on the game. He scored the winning goal for them against us before last time. Mm-hmm. They're decent on set pieces. They're a little bit suspect defensively on set pieces, but they're decent on set pieces. And it's not about who can get in the air and not get a shit. They're good at positioning themselves, so they don't have to be good in the air. Who was it? Pau Torres, who scored for them last time, didn't even have to fucking jump.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, they're just a very good countering low block and counter team, and they're going to do that and against us. And it's going to be different than Crystal Palace because they're way more organized. They have a lot of very good players. They're well drilled. They have a very good coach. They're kind of fun to watch. They play that crazy. I don't know if you remember that last match, how many fucking offsides Sun had in that match.
I do remember that.
They play that crazy high line, that crazy high defensive line until they get backed into their third. So, you know, Spurs have to come out firing in the first half. They just do. We have to come out. We have to be active in the first half. That hair on fire mentality. Because typically what we see happen is that once Spurs score and then continue to push on and push on and push on, teams start to panic. And when they panic, that's when they make mistakes. That's when they switch up their, tactics, their formations. They start to panic. And then, you know, it happened with Crystal Palace, right? It looked like it was going their way and we weren't going to be able to penetrate. And what happened? We scored one goal and they panicked.
Totally.
Panicked. And then another goal happened and then another goal happened. Yep. That's what happens with Tottenham. Yep. They get teams to panic because we keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Sonny hit the post. You know, I mean, like, we had so many fucking chances in that Crystal Palace game. If we can employ the same type of offense, the same type of strategy in this game coming up, there's no reason we shouldn't beat Aston Villa. We dominated them before and they still beat us. But, you know, I mean, it's a different game.
I think we have
Mickey Van de Ven this time.
Yeah, we're going to have to break their block sooner than we did with
and if we have Pedro Porro back, nothing against Emerson. I think he did a fine job playing defensively. He highlighted the lack of his lack of offensive ability in this game. This past week. I mean, really, really highlighted it because he was pretty good defensively. He was actually very good defensively, I should say. I just think that he's not the guy. If Pedro Porro's back, has Pedro Porro and Deki have some sort of weird link up that they just go together.
Yeah, you know, though, Mike, I
they're like bananas and peanut butter.
I just feel like we always fool ourselves with a player who would be helpful who's been out, and they're like, oh, they're going to be back and it's going to make a difference. And without fail, every time they're not fully themselves that first match back, it happens every time.
I think that, you know, I understand that. I think that a lot of that comes down to those players that have been out for extended periods of time.
Yeah, yeah, there's truth to that for sure.
I mean, Pedro Porro is not that far removed from a Premier League field. You know, this isn't a Bentancur. This isn't a Madison coming back, or
yeah,
you know, this isn't a Lo Celso coming back for the 47th time.
Yeah, true.
You know, I think Pedro Porro will fall on a fucking sword for this club and for his teammates. You know.
Speaking of that, Lo Celso came on as a sub in the game as well. And
yeah, he did.
Looked a little shaky at first. He had a bad pass that could have been costly, but then kind of recovered after that.
I feel like Lo Celso is going to come on to do one specific job in this game coming up.
What's that?
To go take out Matty Cash.
That'd be great. Lo Celso's the expendable one, huh?
Boy, I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, I what did I mention? I think I mentioned in the chat, like, watching that Luton match against Aston Villa. Like, they have three fucking guys on their team that I don't like looking at.
You did mention that, yes. You absolutely did.
Like Digne, like, I can't stand him. I don't know what it is. Matty Cash is another one with his fucking, his tight shorts with one leg pulled up to his fucking crotch. Drives me up a fucking wall. the fact that he's a dirty ass player.
Yes. That's the more important piece.
But yeah, or maybe Bentaker will just fucking take him out.
I hope not.
I think Lo Celso can afford a yellow card.
True. Very true. All right, my friend. Let's move on to closing thoughts. What are you thinking about as we head towards the finish line?
I want to mention my our Vermont Green.
Yep.
They're playing in their very first US Open Cup. This tournament has been going on for 111 years. We finally found out our draw. Our draw is against Lexington SC Soccer Club, Lexington Soccer Club out of Kentucky. They're a USL 1 team, which is the lowest level of professional soccer we have in this country. We are playing at home at Virtue Field on March 19th. Now, the reason I mention this is not just because I'm very, very proud of what our club has done in the 2 years that they've been in existence. It's not just because I'm proud of our founders. I'm proud of the fans or the Green Mountain Boys. Boys, I should say. But I mention it because I want to talk about why soccer in this country is falling behind.
Let's hear it.
Profit. MLS is absolutely destroying soccer in this country by, first, their refusal to be involved in this tournament. They've put 8 teams in this tournament, 8 of their first teams in this tournament. I think 6 more of their second of their minor league, whatever, MLS next pro teams in it. And that's not what this is all about. The US Open Cup is supposed to be a cup that, to put it in another term, like in England, an FA Cup type of situation.
Right, right. Yep.
Where amateur teams get to play against the big clubs and show what they're made of and how it's really just an expo of how great soccer is and how it's growing in this country. And MLS is neutering it. Their reasoning for it was because fixture congestion.
But
tell that to a player in England, tell that to a player in Spain, in Portugal, in Italy, any of the European teams, any of the European leagues, tell that to those players who are out there playing for some 3, sometimes 4 competitions every single year.
But at the same time, Mike, aren't some of these teams that have begged out of this, aren't they scheduling friendlies anyway? They're
scheduling friendlies, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it's nonsense.
So MLS is all about the profit.
It's all about avoiding embarrassment.
They don't want to be embarrassed, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, they saw the embarrassment when Houston beat their baby Messi last year,
mm-hmm.
in Miami in the Cup final, and they don't want an amateur team to come out and do that,
right?
Since the USL started, they've been trying to choke out that league. The USL wanted to join with the MLS and make a tiered system in this country.
Right, make a pyramid, right?
make a pyramid, a real tiered system in this country where there'll be relegation. They wanted to take the USL championship and turn it into the level below MLS. And mm-hmm. MLS is constantly looking at profit over product. They know that they're going to get 18,000, 20,000 fans to a game every weekend. And that's all they care about.
Mm-hmm.
They care about bringing in players like Suarez and Messi and like those players who are going to come in and, you know, Miami, they're not even a fucking professional team anymore. They're just a barnstorming team
at this point. Interesting. Yeah.
You know, and come April, May, June, I guarantee a lot of these people are paying these thousands of dollars to go see Messi play.
They ain't gonna see it.
Not gonna get to see him.
I'm telling you, I watched the dialogue with you guys around going to see the Revs. Like, dude, to me, that's a bad investment because the chance of it turning out is risky at best.
Yeah, and I knew that going in. That's a risk I took.
Yeah, no offense, Matt.
Not at all. Like, for my kid, I took that risk for my kid to go see Messi. I'm still gonna protest with t-shirts, nice. And I'm gonna protest with signs at the game. I'm gonna protest the MLS. You see that I no longer have my Revs scarf hanging. Have any scarves hanging, but I don't have. I will not support that team anymore. I bought those tickets for my kid.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will go there and I'll make my feelings felt personally.
I think that might be our episode title, Mike Protests with T-Shirts and Signs. I think that might be.
So that's my closing thoughts. My closing thoughts are, in a nutshell, fuck the MLS.
Yeah, I like it. I don't have a whole lot in terms of closing thoughts other than like it just feels like a really interesting window of time. I'm curious to see how the season's going to end. Mike, I believe you and I were on very much the same page saying that we thought that a fourth or fifth in the table was like probably
sixth, really. I think it's what we said.
Did we go that low? Maybe we went that low. We were on the same page.
I'm happy finishing in Europe.
Yeah. Well, that was ultimately where we landed. Like,
thrilled
to death if we, and that's a whole other thing. Well, no, let me just pause. We're in an interesting window. The next 2 months are going to be really fascinating.
Watch
what unfolds to see who wins the league, to see where we land. You know, it's all going to be cool and exciting. And then there's the whole, let's save this for next week. But the whole, like, I don't get how Europe is working starting in 2025. Like, I saw a video today trying to explain it. I felt old and confused as I was trying to watch it. So we'll have to break that.
That's a whole other pod.
That's a couple pods, I think. But yeah, that's it, man. That's it. So, you know, as we wrap things up, if Steve were here, what he would say to people is he would say, "Cois, cois, 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 cois," and don't be an asshole. But you are having a reaction to something.
Oh, I am having a reaction.
Yeah. To something. Is this a Spurs related thing or is this just other stuff?
No, it's nothing big. It's nothing big. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to have a reaction.
Yeah. I think you voiced "oh shit" while I was speaking. That's what
I did say. I did say "oh shit." There's just some political shit that I minimized my screen for 2 seconds and I saw a political headline.
Speaking of political headlines, I got a text tonight from the Trump campaign in Vermont, you know, encouraging me to get out and vote tomorrow. And I replied, "Stop," you know, and then I replied and said, "And I want to know who you bought my information from." But I didn't get any answers back.
It's funny that they're buying information from people when they are really, really in need of campaign contributions.
Should be saving their money, right? Should not be spending money. But yeah. So if Steve was here, he'd say, "Don't be an asshole," and "Cois, cois, 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 cois." Mike, what would you say?
You know, guys, lots of fucking viruses and sickness out there, right? I'm not saying you have to mask up. You know, in fact, some would say that masking up got us where we are right now with these little bugs that used to be little bugs are now fucking super bugs again. We wore those masks for a long time. We got to build up our immunity again, which is fine. Mask up if you want to, but you know, wash your hands. You know, go out there, wash your hands, use your hand sanitizer. Don't cough in people's faces. That kind of shit.
All good strategies.
Yeah. In general, just be safe.
Yeah, I like that. And what else?
You know, Tottenham Hotspur action.
Tottenham.
Hardly
know him.
Tottenham Hotspur action. It's fantastic. You know, Dave, some days.